This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Alhamdulillah, hamdan yuwafi ni'amahu wa yukafi'u mazidah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana. Wa zidna ilman ya kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri. Wa sir li amri wa hlul uqadatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Like every week I can imagine you all know the drill. Let's go to the Mus'haf shelf and get ourselves a copy of a Mus'haf inshallah. If you're using it on your phone, alhamdulillah, we're on ayah number 156 of Surah Al-Baqarah. If everybody could just grab themselves a Mus'haf, help yourself to one. We have alhamdulillah a very, very large selection of masahif. Alhamdulillah. And if you're already there, then bring a mushaf for someone. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. All right. Verse number 156, Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, 156 is actually related to the verse right before it as well. And that is, Allah is defining the sabirin. We talked about this last week. Allah is defining the patient ones. And this is something really important for you to note. This is a tip for people who are studying the Quran. Whenever you're looking through the Quran, wherever Allah says, Alladhina XYZ, right? Sometimes it's actually a description. Sometimes it is a definition that Allah is giving. So here it is a definition. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Give glad tidings to those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ Those people who whenever they're afflicted by a calamity, قَالُوا They say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Immediately they say, we belong to Allah and to Allah we return. So Allah is defining the patient ones as those people who their natural disposition is that whenever something goes wrong, they remember Allah. They remember that this is from Allah. And every single thing becomes very easy and comforting when you know it's from Allah Azza wa Jal, because you know that Allah Azza wa Jal has a greater plan for you. Now, Allah continues and He says, what is the reward for these people who are patient? He says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ Those are the people who have salawat upon them from their Lord and also rahmah as well. So they have two rewards. Number one, they have salawat. What does salawat mean? There's two definitions. One of them is that salawat is also mercy, but it's one step further. It's mercy that is coupled together with glorification as well. Or it is glorification itself. Okay? That Allah Azza wa Jal mentions these people in the higher committee, al-thana. Allah praises these people in the higher committee, the ones who are patient. So there's a group of people in this world, Allah is boastful about them to the angel. They are the ones who are patient. Their natural disposition is patience. Whenever something befalls, a calamity, a difficulty, they handle it with a beautiful way. They have a demeanor, natural disposition. Immediately, their reaction, their first reaction is that, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ We belong to Allah, and to Allah we return. So it is Allah Azza wa Jal who has given us this calamity, or it is Allah who is taking this thing away from us. And just as He took it away from us, He will also take us away. And all of us, we belong to Allah in the end of it all. So these are people, Allah praises them in the higher committee. مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ And this praise is not from just anybody. If you want to get mentions from people in this world, so be it. You want mention from Allah Azza wa Jal, be from the people who are patient. Because this is مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ It's from their Lord. It's a divine mention of yours by Allah, by the divine, to the higher committee, to the angels. مِن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةً And in addition to that, they get rahmah as well. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ And these are the people who are rightly guided as well. Another definition. One of the aspects of being rightly guided is that you're going to be a patient one. Now, going back to the rule about definitions, sometimes they're comprehensive definitions. Sometimes they're describing an angle of the puzzle. One of the angles of the puzzle of guidance is that you're a person who's patient. Now a new subject. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ These two mountains known as Safa and Marwa. They are from the signposts of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are from the things that Allah has placed for Allah to be recognized. The شَعَائِرُ of Allah. The places where Allah is to be worshipped. And the reason why Allah is mentioning this is because the pagans of Arabia, they used to worship their idols in Safa and Marwa. Remember, the pagans of Arabia, they had reminiscence of the legacy of Ibrahim and the legacy of Hajar and the legacy of Ismail. So they had a concept of Hajj as well. They had a concept of, all of these concepts were there, but of course they were very skewed and they were very shirkified at that point, right? So one of the things they would do is they would worship other than Allah at Safa and Marwa. So when Allah revealed the idea of making Hajj and within the Hajj doing Safa and Marwa, and also Umrah, and within the Hajj doing the Safa and Marwa, some of the Muslims, they were hesitant. Hesitation. This is the place where all these people used to worship the idols and so forth. So they were coming from all of this idolatry and they came to monotheism. At this point, they didn't want to go back to this all over again. So they felt hesitant. In that vein, Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَحَائِرِ اللَّهِ That Safa and Marwa are actually from the signposts of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتِ So whoever chooses to do Hajj to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hajj literally means qasd. And over here it means whoever does Hajj, meaning the ritual of Hajj, the rites of Hajj, the pilgrimage, right? The pilgrimage. And by the way, the idea of Hajj is there in many religions, okay? The idea of communitas. What's communitas? Communitas is when you leave your community and then you go over to a small group of people and you go basically on a retreat somewhere far away and you have a small community, communitas. And there you disconnect from your world and you connect to whatever divine being that you worship. So this concept of communitas, the greater concept of Hajj basically, is there within many of the religions, right? But the distinction that Islam has, that we have the largest Hajj in the world, alhamdulillah. And we have the Hajj to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have the Hajj to the house that was erected by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And according to some, by Adam alayhi salam himself as well. So this is the difference. This is the a place that was barren. No one was there. When Ibrahim came, he says, Rabbi inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri thi zar'in 'inda baytika al-muharram. Oh Allah, I have brought my family and I'm placing them to a place which is barren. There's no one over here. But then, Rabbana liyuqimu as-salat. Oh Allah, so that they may worship you. They may pray. They may, they may believe in you and practice their religion right over here. And that's exactly what happened. Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ That make adhan. What type of adhan? Adhan for Hajj. Tell people, give them the declaration, make the announcement for Hajj. Right? Allah says they're going to come to you from every direction. They're going to come from afar. They're going to come from a close. They'll come walking and they'll come riding as well. This is how they'll come. So what happened here? What I'm trying to say over here is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he called people to this house at that time. There was no microphone and there was no social media. There was nothing but Allah Azza wa Jal. He accepted this call of Ibrahim, which he commanded himself to do as well, right? And then that call was responded. So this is the difference, by the way, between our Hajj and the other Hajj. People go to Vatican as well. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتِ Whoever does Hajj to the house, أَوْ اِعْتَمَرْ Or he does Umrah, either one of those. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا So there is no junah, there is no sin upon him that he does tawaf between the Safa and the Marwa, between the two mountains. Over here, Allah is referring to the sa'i that we know as the sa'i, he's referring to it as a tawaf, because technically, what does tawaf mean? To circumambulate, right? To go around in circles. So even in sa'i, what do? You basically go around, but you're going around in between two mountains. You're going back and forth between two mountains. So this is not referring to tawaf, this verse right here. It's referring to sa'i. But Allah refers to it as tawaf because at the end of the day, you're going in circles as well between these two mountains. Now there's something very important here. And that is that Allah is saying, whoever does hajj or umrah, there's no sin upon him to do tawaf between Safa and Marwa. Meaning that sa'i between Safa and Marwa is not an act of worship without hajj and without umrah. Some people, they have this notion, and this is a bid'ah, this is an innovation. You don't do tawaf, or you don't do sa'i between Safa and Marwa as a standalone worship. You can do tawaf, no problem. There is a standalone worship called tawaf. You can do other forms of ibadah, but this is not one of them. وَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا, and whoever wishes to do voluntarily, do what voluntarily? Hajj or Umrah. Whoever wishes to do the obligation, that's one thing. But then, whoever wishes to do voluntarily this act of worship or any other act of worship, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. So Allah Azza wa Jal is very grateful to this, meaning He accepts this deed and rewards for it. وَعَلِيمٌ, and He knows as well the intentions of the people who are worshipping Allah. Now, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Indeed, those people that hide whatever Allah has revealed from clear signs of His, clear verses of His, and also the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So that means that you can't conceal and hide things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran. We have to let people know what this Quran says. There are people who are shy about verses in the Quran. You and I cannot be from those people, because there's a very severe punishment for those people who hide what is in the Quran. There are clear signs, clear verses, clear guidances within the Quran. Yes, there's uncomfortable truths as well in the Quran. And what I mean that by that is, they may discomfort your life right now if you reveal them to people. But you still have to do it, because if you don't do it, then there's a consequence. What's that consequence? Allah says, the consequence of that person who hides is, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. They are the people who are cursed by Allah. And also all of the creation end up cursing Him as well. يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Who are the la'inun? Everything. Everything. Human beings, jinn, animals, every single thing. Why? Let me explain. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told us in a hadith that a alim, a scholar, specifically, not just any scholar, but in some of the reports it says mu'allimul khair, a teacher of goodness. Every single thing ends up seeking forgiveness for this teacher of goodness. And the Prophet continued and he said, everything in the heavens and the earth as well, حَتَّى الْحِيْتَانُ فِي الْبَحَرِ, even the fishes in the ocean. So every single thing is seeking forgiveness for the people who teach people goodness. The alim or the mu'allim, الناس الخير, the person who teaches others goodness. Every single thing is seeking forgiveness for this person within the heavens and the earth, even fish within the depths of the ocean. Why? Because when a teacher of goodness teaches people things, they recognize by that the rights and the obligations they have to and for every person in this world and objects as well. How do you know how to treat a fish? You need to learn. How do you know how to treat animals? You need to learn. All of this is taught to you through the Quran and Sunnah. So someone that's teaching the Quran and Sunnah, every single thing ends up seeking forgiveness for that person. And all of us, at the end of the day, within some capacity, end up being that teacher to our children too. Everyone ends up teaching something, right? So, within that capacity, you have all of these things making dua for you because you taught your children how to act and behave in the right way. Similarly, the person who's hiding the truth, everything begins to curse this person as well. Why is that? Well, because he knows what is good. He knows what is righteousness. He knows what's goodness. But he is afraid of the consequence, so he doesn't tell the people the truth. Or she doesn't tell the people the truth. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people who hide, who conceal whatever Allah has revealed from the clear guidances and also clear signs and the guidance, after Allah has made it very evident, when you read the Quran, the concepts become very, very vivid, very evident. Try it. Try to look for one concept discussed within the Quran, whatever that concept be. Read through the Quran a couple of times, let's say 4 or 5 times. Look at every single verse on that topic, couple it together. Most likely within the capacity of these verses, you will be able to have a very good idea of what Allah has to say about this topic. Because Allah says, مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ, after we've made it very evident for the people, فِي الْكِتَابِ, in the book, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ, these are people, the people who hide the truth. There are people who Allah Azza wa Jal has His la'na upon. وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ, and Allah, not only him, but other people end up cursing as well, this individual. And that's why you'll see that any person of knowledge who is telling people truth, you will see people will eventually have love for that person. Even if at some point they don't have love for that person, because the truth remains and people eventually recognize that this guy was telling us the truth. But then the opposite is also true. When everything is cursing you, what's going to happen? When you are faced by a difficult time, whether you're a leader in your family, in your community, in your society, in your whatever, your village, your school, whatever it may be, when you find yourself in a situation where you have to speak a truth that is going to be consequential, essentially you might have everybody erupting against you, everybody revolting against you. But then eventually when the nufus, they begin to, when the soul and the people, they begin to come to a rest, and people begin to think, they use their minds, they go back and they reconsider. Maybe the guy was speaking the truth after all, right? So that is why we find that Allah Azza wa Jal places a love for a person who speaks the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and he says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا, except for those people. There are a group of people who are an exception to this, except for those people who make tawbah to Allah. They make tawbah to Allah. Yeah, they hid some truth at some point, but now they realize they've made a mistake. Human beings, right? You had some fear for the people, and the Prophet ﷺ said, don't allow the fear of the people for you to speak a truth that you know of. So sometimes, yes, everybody can have some fear, and because of that, you might end up hiding some truth, right? And Allah continues and He says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, except those people who make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. They repent to Allah. They don't no longer want to hide what Allah has to say. وَأَصْلَحُوا, but they have to correct their mistake as well. They have to reform. And this is a general principle in making tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. When you want to make tawbah to Allah, if you've done wrong to people, to society, if you've caused a harm, you have to fix that harm. That is necessary. When it's just between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will always clean out your slate. But when it is you causing some harm to society, to people, to individuals, you have to fix that harm. That's why Allah says, except for those people who make tawbah and they reform, they correct and they fix their mistakes. You have harmed someone personally, right? By speaking ill of them. You've destroyed their reputation. You've caused them difficulty in their marriage. You have to go and seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal for that sin. And at the same token, you have to go and talk to them as well, for them to free you of the sin as well. Because there is a sin that you have between yourself and Allah, and there's baggage that you're going to be carrying all the way till the Day of Judgment because of the harm that you caused to somebody else. So So there has to be islah. There has to be rectification, reforming. وَبَيَّنُوا, and you clarify as well. Let me give you an example. Someone goes and says, the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal in XYZ is this. Right? And they're lying. They're lying. They're lying. There are people out there who do this. I don't know what to say, subhanAllah. But I want you to know that there are people out there who know truth, but they don't want to tell it. Hawa, desires. And there are moments in their lives when they're reading this book that they themselves come to a recognition that they've made a mistake. But we tell them that in order for you to correct that mistake, you have to make tawbah, you have to rectify, and you need to clarify to the people as well that you were on the wrong, that you've made a mistake, that maybe it was your desires, maybe it was a legitimate mistake. But whatever that falsehood that you ended up perpetrating to the people, you have to correct that. You have to fix it. You have to tell the people, I was wrong. وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ, it's only those people. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ, Allah says, these are the people I'm going to forgive. I don't end up forgiving everybody. These are the people that I'm going to forgive. The ones who come up with all of these premises, all of these conditions, making tawbah to Allah, correcting the mistake, clarifying that you were wrong. And this is a principle in your lives as well. You have to, when you make a mistake, you have to own up to that mistake. You know, sometimes people are afraid to own up to their mistakes, but I tell you, wallahi, one of the most powerful things that a human being can do is accept their mistake. You do not become lesser in the sight of the people, let alone Allah Azza wa Jal. When you say, this is what I said, but it was a mistake. Of course, if there's a sense of intent, that's a different story. Then people might look at you like, oh, we can't trust you in the future. But if it's not, there's no sense of intent, then when you embrace your mistake, people are going to be forgiving. But if you keep on going based on that mistake, just because you're afraid that what am I going to say to the people, that will become a greater mistake. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ, these are the people that I forgive. وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, and now Allah reminds everybody that I am the ever forgiving. I accept every mistake and I forgive it. I am merciful. Those people who have erred in the past, they can always come back to Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those people who have disbelieved, وَمَاتُوا, and they die upon that disbelief, وَهُمْ كُفَّارُ, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, Allah has His curse upon those people. The angels have their curse upon these people, and humanity at large as well has their curse upon these people. Again, I've been pinpointing many verses like this, because this idea of perennial thought, it's being peddled to Muslims. It's being peddled to Muslims in the form of books that are being endorsed by Muslim scholars. And we tell these Muslim scholars to fear Allah, because there's a day of judgment. And if you realize that a book contains kufr, disbelief, and you tell people, well, it's generally good, but there's some errors. The regular person reading, is he going to have your same brain and intellect and academic and scholarly skills to be able to figure out that mistake? No. An example of that is study Quran. Study Quran is a book that is peddled to Muslims. It is read by Muslims, but the book has perennial thought. It has perennial thought. It has this idea that there is this common truth, there's this common basis. And Allah, for faith, everybody can just be one. Everyone can gain salvation. Everyone can gain a shot at salvation in the hereafter. We do admit that it's possible that even a person who dies upon disbelief may gain a shot at salvation because they didn't get the message from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's a different discussion. But the average person who's heard about the message, they know about the message, but they continue to disbelieve, are they going to get that shot as well at salvation? The answer is no. And there is no disagreement among the Muslims. Look at this. Look at what Allah is saying. Those who disbelieve and they die. وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. And they are disbelievers. They will have the la'na of Allah, the curse of Allah. Someone cursed by Allah, like the shaitan, will go to Jannah. والملائكة, and all of the angels as well. والناس أجمعين, and humanity at large. What more do you want to hear? Allah is saying these people who die upon disbelief, they are cursed by Allah Azza wa Jalla. But I have to point out that this is the general masses of people who disbelieve. We do not curse specific individuals. There is a disagreement about this, but most of the scholars believe that we do not curse specific individuals. Someone dies, specifically you say, that person is cursed by Allah. No, 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 no. Why? Because maybe in the last moments of his life, he had a change of heart. He decided to go another way. Maybe he didn't get the message or got a skewed version of the message, and Allah will test him on the Day of Judgment, because this is also going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Some people will be tested by Allah, and those who become faithful at that point, they will be sent to Jannah. So we can't curse specific individuals, but Allah is talking about the general body. That these people who disbelieve, they are not people who are going to be in the mercy of Allah. Otherwise, if you say otherwise, you're destroying the primary premise because of which the Quran came. The Quran came to bring people out of disbelief to belief. If everybody has a good shot at paradise and everybody can basically be a good person and go to Jannah, then what's the point of the prophets? What's the point of the Quran? What is the point of this book? What is the point of this message? What are all these verses all about? The people who are peddling these different types of disbeliefs, they have to ask themselves, how do they understand these verses? The reality is, they do not understand these verses. And that's why we know that the wasiyya of all of the prophets, the will, the counsel of all of the prophets to their people was to die upon Islam. Allah literally told us of Ibrahim, and he said, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Ibrahim, he told his children and also Ya'qub as well, يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. Oh my children, Allah has chosen this path for you, this religion for you. So do not die except that you are Muslimin, except that you are Muslimun. Don't die except that you are people of faith, except that you've accepted Islam. If Ibrahim is telling this to his children and Ya'qub is telling this to his children, what's the point of all of this? Why, if everyone has a shot to salvation, just be a kind person and a good person and charitable and this and that and the other, and you'll go to something called paradise, or you'll have a shot at paradise. Why? You know, this really doesn't make sense with the entire concept of the prophets to begin with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us in the Quran, a verse we recite on a very regular basis. The verse that you hear every single Jumu'ah. What is it? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh, who you believe, have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, the way you should have taqwa of Him, and don't die except in the state of Islam. The primary basis of this entire religion is that there's something called Islam and there's something called kufr. Those who are Muslimin, they will be granted Jannah. Those who are kuffar, they will be doomed in fire. If you get rid of this creedal pillar of faith, there is no more Islam. Islam is finished. The whole concept of Islam becomes destroyed, imploded. If you say that kuffar can also go to Jannah, why not? And I'm going to point this out throughout my tafsir again and again, because I know that this is, again, being peddled to Muslims from, unfortunately, some Muslims or some who claim to be Muslims themselves. In different ways, sometimes speakers who have this belief, they are enabled in large conferences in the Western world and in the Muslim world as well. Sometimes through books like the one I just told you of. But we're not going to let this go. We are going to hold people to account who are trying to corrupt our creed. خالدين فيها. They will remain therein forever. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب. They will remain therein forever again. This is another one of those things that people are attacking now. This is another concept, because anything that has this idea of non-Muslims going to hellfire is irritating some people. Why is it irritating you? Why? It is not you who is going to hellfire. Do you understand? He is making a choice not to believe. And Allah has certain rules that He's placed for those who disbelieve. One of them is that they go to the hellfire. So this is another thing that people are now starting to contest as well. That, well, at the end of the day, Ibn al-Qayyim has a view. And he talks about this in Had al-Arwah at the end of his book, right? He has 25 pages on this particular topic. The idea that the fire will be extinguished, and that the fire is not permanent. Jannah is permanent, but fire is not permanent. He really, really tries to push this view in his book, Had al-Arwah. But this is a mistake. What is this? This is a mistake. And he is one of the only scholars in history that has tried to push this idea. The overwhelming majority of the ummah. And what I mean by that is basically an ijma', a consensus. Everyone agrees, and the Quran repeatedly repeats that the fire is permanent just as Jannah is also permanent. This is there throughout the Quran. This is one example right over here. Okay? Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because they use this view, which is, again, an atypical view. It's not the actual sunnah view of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah at large. But this is an atypical view. It is a wrong view. It's a mistake. And every scholar can make a mistake, right? So, some of these people, what they're doing now, is they're using this view of Ibn al-Qayyim as a basis, and they say, that look, Ibn al-Qayyim says that the fire will be extinguished. It's going to come to an end. Right? So if the fire comes to an end, where do all these kuffar go that are in the fire? Allah is all merciful. They have to go somewhere. So they're going to be entered into Jannah. Now, interestingly enough, Ibn al-Qayyim saved us the trouble. Why? Because when you read the book of Ibn al-Qayyim himself, he literally says that the fact that the fire will be extinguished, it does not mean that the people of the fire will be entered into Jannah. Do you understand? He says that means that they will be extinguished along with the fire. So when these people are reading, I don't know if they're reading the entire book or just skimming what's being said. The idea is they don't care about Ibn al-Qayyim. They don't care about Ibn Taymiyyah. They don't care about An-Nawawi. They care about their desires. They have a desire of this inconvenient truth that says that people who are destined to fire will remain therein forever, except of course the people who are believers, and they will be brought back to Jannah. This is a very inconvenient truth, so they don't want to actually accept this inconvenient truth, and they will take any measures to live their own beliefs and then ascribe them to Islam. We say to such people, you can believe whatever you want, but Islam is understood through the Quran and through the Sunnah. Allah is telling us in the Quran, خالدين فيها, and in some places, أبدا as well, forever. They will remain therein forever. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب. The عذاب, the punishment will never be decreased upon these people. ولا هم ينظرون. And nor will they be given respite. Nor will they be given respite. When people get to the fire, Muslims and non-Muslims, because even Muslims will be entered into the fire. Those who are disobedient slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. I ask Allah to protect you and I. Allahumma ameen. And allow us to die on belief. Allahumma ameen. Nobody's going to be given respite at that moment. Khalas. Your respite is in this world. This world is darul ibtila. It's the dar. It's the moment in which you're going to be tested. Right now you're being tested. Allah has placed us within this earth to test us. He wants to see who is going to be a believer and who is going to be a disbeliever. He wants to see who is going to be righteous and who is going to be impious. He wants to see who will fall prey to his desires and who will be able to abstain from the things that his desires dictate upon him. He wants to see who is going to uphold the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal and who is going to reject the laws of Allah. He wants to see who is going to look at the inconveniences of the religion, because there are some things that are inconvenient within the religion as well, and embrace them. And who's going to look at those very inconveniences and reject them? He wants to see all this. Now you're being tested. And on the day of judgment, there's no more time for test anymore. Now it's the time for result. There's no respite. وَلَا هُمْ يُنظَرُونَ. There's no more respite now. خلاص. Time is over. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Now Allah finishes this conversation off by reminding you that your Lord is just one Lord. It's Him alone. The only being that you need to be worshipping is Allah Azza wa Jal. So don't have fear of the people and conceal the truth. Because you have a Lord to respond back to. You have a Lord to answer back to. He will question you. La ilaha illahu. Don't worship other than Allah. Don't make your source of guidance other than Allah Azza wa Jal as well. There is no God worthy of worship except for Him. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He's the ever merciful. And He's the merciful, the one who gives His mercy to the people as well. The one who extends His mercy to the people. Because now Allah is talking about the people of the fire. And remember, the Quran is always mathani. What does that mean? Whenever Allah is going to talk about the fire and He will give you some warning, Allah is also going to give you an opportunity to rectify yourself and correct yourself. This is the nature of the Quran. If there's a verse about Jannah, there will be a verse about the fire as well. If there's something about the account on the day of judgment, Allah will tell you He's also merciful as well, so you repent back to Him. So Allah wants you to repent back to Him. And one of the ways to repent back to Allah Azza wa Jal is to do tawbah and correct the wrongs that you've done. Look around yourself. What is that one wrong that you've done to someone else? Because we've all wronged. Firstly, we've wronged ourselves. Secondly, we've wronged everybody around us pretty much. And thirdly, we haven't made tawbah. And Allah wants you to make that tawbah, and He's saying, أنا التواب الرحيم الرحمن الرحيم. I am the one who accepts that tawbah. I am the ever merciful. And I'm the one who extends that mercy as well. I ask Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to extend His mercy to us. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.